Lauren, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. So looking at this women's only Uber service, what do you believe are some of the benefits of gendered transportation?
Okay, so there's an uneven playing field where women disproportionately fear their safety in public space, or fear for their safety in public space, and also have a much higher propensity to be, for example, sexually assaulted than a male traveller would.
Mm.
So therefore, provisions such as this are catering to both a market as well as a need in society for women to feel more safe about their transport and their movement.
Mm. There have been some infamous cases, obviously, with taxi drivers. Taxis have been around for years, and there have been some infamous cases of sexual assault that crop up through that. And more recently with Uber, it's more been cases of, keeping around of phone numbers, the sort of haranguing against female passengers by male drivers who sort of sensed a bit of attraction or believed they'd sensed a bit of an attraction. But how serious do you feel these cases have been? Has it warranted this female-only service?
Yeah, in general, something that criminologists call the paradox of fear exists, where women fear crime in public space more than it happens. The reality is that we're more likely to be raped or murdered by someone that we love, who we share a bed with. And I think particularly the fears around taxis and Uber, but particularly Uber, has actually been driven by the taxi industry itself, which is trying to make us doubt a competitor for them. It doesn't mean that taxis or Uber are fear-free or that it's something that we don't need to worry about. But nonetheless, I do feel that culturally the concerns are overplayed.
Mm. The backlash against this service, do you feel like that has been a little bit overplayed as well?
Look, I think any kind of separatist service is always going to be framed as an example of feminism gone too far. My response to that would be, until we have a level playing field, until we have equality, making provisions that help to even up things aren't a bad thing and can be justified that way. It's much the same as asking, for example, could a non-white person be racist? Could a woman be sexist? Arguably, for people who are in marginalised or subordinated positions, they don't have enough cultural power to be sexist or to be racist. Therefore, it's not an issue beyond in the minds of people who are always looking at any means to attack feminism.
Mm. Is there some confusion, I guess, when we talk about feminism, confusion around equal opportunity and equal result? And that seems to be the real sticking point for a lot of these critics that seem to come out of the woodwork every time something like this is announced.
Look, the problem with feminism anyway is that the label is very broad now. So the fact that it's a church that also now encompasses pro-life feminists versus those who've been fighting militantly for years and years and years to have safe access to abortion means that there's actually very little we all agree on.
Mm.
So I think that makes this difficult in and of itself. There'd be feminists who see this service as a little concerning. I would be in that camp, versus other feminists who are actually more advocating for a more separatist approach because they don't feel that equality is going to come any other way besides women taking it into their own hands.
Mm. Well, Lauren, thank you very much. Do appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
Anytime, Sean. Thank you.